This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. New book today. Please open your King James Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on April 1st at 5 p.m. for a beautiful presentation to celebrate Christ our Passover, who is sacrificed for us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Scott will do one of his miraculous picture shows, scripture shows, and I will do the Word of God with Jesus teaching from the cross, and we'll have communion. That's April 1st, 5 p.m. here at my school. Come every Sunday, 5 p.m. for Word and Prayer. Come Wednesday, 6 p.m. for the Word and Warrior Prayer. And each Thursday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Scott and I are here to pray for you. And now, the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon in the Vulgate, that's one of the manuscript translations, calls it the Canticles. So it might be in your index there, you might see the word Canticles. And it's a Hebrew word, Shahar Shirem, which means the most beautiful song. So what we're going to have now is the most beautiful, beautiful song. Now, what you want to know is that this is definitely a love song. It is a love story. It is true. But it has a deeper meaning just for you. It's very graphic, but if you've ever been love is graphic. Don't tell me you love me and you don't get all shook up, as Elvis says. I'm all shook up. Love is combustible. Love is exciting. Love just shakes everything up. And this is the way we're supposed to be, madly in love with God. So he uses the love between a man and a woman to express how combustible, excited, explosively you ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God had arranged it so that the Song of Solomon was always read at Passover. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Isn't that amazing? Here I am inviting you all to come to the resurrection of Christ, our Passover, and I'm teaching that right now. See how God does things? The book of Ruth, which I just finished teaching, was always read at Pentecost because it refers to kinsman redeemer, Jesus our kinsman redeemer. And the book of Ecclesiastes, which tells us how to live under the sun in these flesh bodies, is always read at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, in order to understand this book, you have to know that it is a play. You will not see the names of a cast of characters when they speak. I have been in plays all of my life. From a tiny little toddler, they let me be Becker of Tom Thatcher. Tom Sawyer wins out. I'm Becky Thatcher. I've been in plays all my life. I was in theater. And the playbooks always have the guy's name or the woman's name and what you say. The only thing about this, it is a play. I'm going to have to tell you which one is speaking. Sometimes a whole paragraph will grow, and there'll be three people speaking, but I will tell you that. Now we have an exciting cast of characters. We have the beautiful heroine, and she's called the Shulamite girl. She's a country girl. She's deeply tanned because she works in the sun. But she is a type of God's very elect men and women here at the end of the time who are working in the heat of the day and whose true love is for the Lord Jesus Christ and will not be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist. Now in the story, she falls in love with a wonderful shepherd boy. He's the next character. You know who he is? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Great Shepherd. They fall in love. And then we have in this play King Solomon. He's the richest man ever lived, the richest man in the world. He owns the world, everything. He represents the soon coming Antichrist, who will be God of this planet. Everybody will love and adore him because he'll give them stuff. Even half of the body of Christ will be deceived. And half half of the body of Christ are in this play. They're called the Daughters of Jerusalem. They already married King Solomon. They're already deceived by the Antichrist, and they already live in his palace. Now, we'll tell you more about them as we go along. Let's begin. The very first verse, Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Solomon means peaceful. Now, verse 2.
Verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine.
Now, she, the Shulamite girl, is thinking of him. That is the elect. And what you're saying is, wine gets you high. Just one touch of the Lord on an elect is a spiritual high. It's better than all the finest wine you could drink until you get drunk as a skunk. In other words, that's how exciting it is to be with him. Now, please understand that for the most part here, the Shulamite girl and the wonderful shepherd boy are not physically together. They had been, and they might be, and they will be. But usually they're just communicating. So she thinks of him, and he feels that. He thinks of her, and she feels that. Have you ever had someone you own such a good level, a kindred spirit, so that you can tell when they're in trouble or tell when something goes wrong there? And so you have that. But you as a Shulamite, the Shulamite means a double resting place. You as an elect, you have the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus, which is a wonderful shepherd boy. You have him all the time. He never leaves you and never forsakes you. So a true elect has a perpetual conversation going on with the Holy Spirit all the time. The Holy Spirit, God, is always talking, but you just have to turn on the right frequency. You got to tune in the right station. Understand? Yes. Okay. So she's communicating and says, oh, I just thinking about you and thinking how wonderful it is to be with you. I can get a spiritual high with you anytime, Lord.
Verse 3.
She's still speaking.
Because of the savor of thy good ointments.
Oh, savor means like a sweet-smelling perfume. Now, she says, you smell so good to be wonderful shepherd boy. Well, you know what Jesus' last name is? What it is not is Christ. Christ means the anointed one, the anointing, Messiah. So Jesus is the anointed one. And if you're an elect, he pours out his spirit on you. He rubs it in like rubbing an oil into you, anoints you. And then the scent that was on Jesus from his anointing, that's how you smell. So then when you pray to him, or when you praise him, as we just finished doing before that we're on the air here, as we did that, that savor comes up to his nostrils. He says the prayers of saints are like a sweet-smelling perfume to him. So she says, you smell good to me. See, he smells good to us. We smell good to him. We're not talking so much literal scent here. We're talking about that refreshing touch. There is nothing more refreshing than the touch of the Holy Spirit. You should be anointed with fresh oil.
Amen.
My name is as ointment poured forth.
Now she praises his spirit, and now she goes to the next thing of his heart. Your name is like ointment. Revelation 17:13, thy name is called the Word of God. So the elect know one thing, that the touch of the Holy Spirit is the very essence of Jesus, and you can smell his presence. It's a scent that you have. And actually, sometimes there is a scent. I have smelled a lilac thing, and I knew he was present there, but that's not always the right scent. But then the elect knows that the Word of God is the most important thing, because that's the voice of God. So the elect always put together the Spirit and the Word of God. You cannot be an elect unless you have the Word of God and unless you have the Spirit. They go together like a horse and carriage, like marriage.
Therefore the virgins love thee.
Now, the elect are always prophetic, and the elect know in Matthew 25, Jesus says there were 10 virgins. 10 is the number of the overall body of Christ here on planet Earth at the end. It's just a number. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. The wise ones have oil in their lamp. They are elect. They know what the scriptures say about the soon coming of Antichrist, but they also know that some of them are going to be deceived. So she says, those who wait for you, Lord, throughout the Antichrist reign, those are the ones who really love you. You know, that started in the first earth age. The ones that really loved God did not betray him then, and you get a second chance to fall in love with him now.
Verse 4. drive me, we will run unto thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers.
Now, we're often called the hidden one. Zephaniah's name means the hidden one. It says we're hidden with Christ in Jesus, and he hides us secretly in his pavilion. What's happened to the Shulamite girl? King Solomon has seen her and desires to woo her, to marry her. He's already got all the other, the daughters of Jerusalem. They're already in the palace. So he summons her to come to his palace. Now you, as an elect, where the Antichrist comes, symbolized by King Solomon, you will be summoned to come to the palace in Jerusalem where the Antichrist will be calling himself God. He's not calling you to cut your head off. He's going to woo you and say, my, what a great person you are. He comes in with flattery. He will say, you would be so great in my kingdom, and you could have a new car, and you could get your mortgage paid, and you could really be somebody in my church. And he'll pretend to be Christ. So she's been summoned, and when we are summoned as an elect, we go, because that's our highest duty. That's why we're here, and that's it. I mean, we're ready to take it on. That is the greatest honor you can have in this generation, to do that. So she's in there, but she's sitting before him, and she says, I hide me secretly in your pavilion. What we will say is, Holy Spirit, speak through us. Remember, the Holy Spirit's going to speak through us.
We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine.
Those of us who are the elect, we're not going to bow the knee. Even though we're delivered up to you in your palace, we're going to let the Holy Spirit speak through us. And we're going to wait it out. And we're going to be so glad when the real Jesus comes that we get to love you, because we have been true. We did not fall off for the flattery. We did not fall off to get a mortgage paid.
The upright love thee.
Upright is Hebrew for Zadok. Once again, the true ones who loved him in the first earth age were the upright, the Zadok. They're the only ones that stood and fought for him. Everybody else could be bought. Look at humankind today. Look at the people who can be bought.
Verse 5. I am black but comely.
Now this word black is not talking about a race of people, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Here's what it means. It means suntanned. She was deeply suntanned because she had been working in the vineyard. Now the Shulamite girl has a mother who is widowed, and she had been tending her flock. And when the sun would get hot and she was taking care of the sheep, she could leave the sheep out there, and she would go sit on the green grass under a tree and have some lunch and get out of the heat. And that's where she met the wonderful shepherd boy. He was a shepherd. He did the same thing. His sheep were in the pasture. They were grazing. And so he also went and sat on the green grass under a tree, and they fell madly in love. Well, the Shulamite girl has brothers who are overly protective of her. And they said, we don't want you to marry him. She was a spouse to the wonderful shepherd boy. All elect are a spouse to Jesus. There was a whole bunch of nuns. They had little rings on their left hand. They said, we're a spouse to Jesus. And so her brother said, okay, you're not going to tend the flock anymore, because we're going to separate you from the wonderful shepherd boy. And see, that's what the daughters of Jerusalem are going to try to do to us. The main church will try to separate us from our love for him. So they sent her out to tend a vineyard. There was no shade there, and she got very, very, very suntanned. Now, it was in Bible times, and it was in history, in Great Britain, and in early United States of America, that you were looked down upon if you had a suntan. It meant you had to work in the field. She is a country girl. It meant you had to hoe the corn and plow the cotton and pick the cotton, and you had to work in the field. And all the people who were rich had creamy, peachy, white skin, and they sat on the couch and ate bonbons. So what she's doing, she's been summoned to the king's palace. She's beautiful, Coleman says, but I am beautiful. I'm highly tanned. See, she's been working in the hot sun, in the heat of the day, when everybody else folds and they run and they go get that comfort little stuff in their home and just feed themselves all kind of comfortable little nothings. The elect of working in the heat of the day when nobody else can stand, we're still there. We take the heat. And you know, sometimes it kind of it has to make us a little stronger. It has to toughen our hide, shall we say. So she's in the palace, and there they are. They're all creamy white. They've never done a day's work at all. That's half the body of Christ. How many people do you know really live by faith who say they're Christian? How many people do you know who really do some good, who really win souls to Jesus, who really give their life away? Isn't it all talk? Isn't it all go and worship? Most of it is. How many people do you know who totally live by faith? And see, that's the only thing that pleases him. So she says to them, you're all white and beautiful there. And she says, I'm suntanned. She's going to tell them why she's suntanned. She's trying to be friendly.
O ye daughters of Jerusalem, and the tents of Kedah, and the curtains of Solomon.
She says, you're dressed so beautifully. Your hair is so coiffed up, and your skin is like peachy, peaches and cream. And someone wove the gowns you're wearing. They just got all gold and silver. You can tell an artist sewed them, just like Solomon's curtains and the tents of Kedah. You are so beautifully gowned. You're so beautifully robed. I bet you went to that church that said God wanted you to be rich and have lots of stuff.
Six, look not upon me because I am black.
Don't look down on me because I'm suntanned. I have been working in the sun.
Because the sun has looked upon me, my mother's children were angry with me.
My brothers didn't want me to marry the wonderful shepherd boy.
They made me the keeper of the vineyard. They took away from me herding sheep. Because of the little shepherd.
They wanted to separate me from my Lord. Do you know the people who will probably cause you, if you're going to backslide or get cold? You know who they are the most? The daughters of Jerusalem and the church. It's the church people who ought to know better, who ought to be white hot for God, explosive, all shook up for the Lord, all aware of three earth and heaven ages, all that should be so that they would be giving their lives and their property and their things like in Acts, they would be giving all of this for God. They are the ones that will keep you from that. They will say, now don't get carried away. I mean, after all, don't wear your religion on your sleeve. Remember why you're here. You're an ambassador for God. You're not supposed to act like a petty human being.
But mine own vineyard have I not kept.
But she says, I can't even keep my vineyard where I was getting a suntan because they made me come here in this palace with all of you beautiful women with your peachy cream skin and all your beautiful clothes.
Now that the king has brought me in, verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest.
Now, she does what every elect does. Hey, where are you, Lord?
Where thou dwellest.
Haven't you ever done it? It's so scary. You're in a trouble. Where are you, Lord? Well, she's the hidden one. He's right where she is. He'll be right there with you as you're delivered up. He's right with you now. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're hidden with him in Christ. You're in his heart. And he just folds over and hides you secretly in his pavilion. Just because you can't see him, because she can't see him, doesn't mean he's not there. But she seems to need to cry out to him because the pressure's coming in. She knows that King Solomon is going to try to get her to marry him like he's already married the other beautiful, deceived members of the body of Christ, the daughters of Jerusalem.
Where thou makest thy flock to rest? At noon? For why should I be as one that cannot reside by the flocks of thy companions?
Why can't I just be like a regular old Christian to get a little rest from you, Lord? Why do I have to be special? Why do I have to be an elect? Because to whom much is given, much is required. It's such an honor.
If thou knowest not.
He speaks. Now, watch how quickly. Even though they're separated, this is the Holy Spirit. He says, before you call, he will answer. While you yet speak, the Lord will answer you. She's saying, where are you? I mean, here comes King Solomon. He's coming in the room. I'm sitting at the table smelling good. He's going to ask me to marry him. Where are you, Lord? Here he comes, just right there. Never late. Never early, but never late.
O thou fairest among women.
First thing he does, if you don't know, most beautiful of all women. But see, the elect do know. Just sometimes you just feel like a little child and get afraid. You do know where he is. You're hidden with him. He's in your heart, and you're in his heart, and nobody can penetrate that.
Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock.
If you think you can't find me, he says to her, what you do, instead of panicking, all of you listen, if you don't know what to do, if you don't know what God's next step is, you follow the footsteps of the flock. Go to the flock. Go and tell. Go and tell the story. Go and publish the name. Go and feed my sheep.
And feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent.
Feed the kids so they'll be kids no longer, but mature, mystery understanding people of God. When you don't know what to do, elect, feed the sheep. Sow the word. In the morning, sow the word. At noontime, sow the word. In the evening, sow the word. One or the other will make a harvest.
Now, parentheses, King Solomon speaks.
Now, King Solomon is going to speak. He's a type of the Antichrist. Now, he walks into the room in all of his stately apparel. He's got all the daughters of Jerusalem. They've already married him. See, all of the people deceived will already wed him. Remember, Jesus is coming back for a wedding. Don't you think Antichrist is going to do the same thing? He wants the elect to marry him, too.
I have compared thee, oh my love.
Oh my love. Look out for the flattery. Look out for the sweet talk.
To a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot.
Did he call her horse face? He says, you're as beautiful as some horses. Well, to give him a little bit of credit, it was a beautiful sight. These white horses, these beautiful white stallions, and then they would decorate them in jewels and blankets of red and wine. And then they would hook them up and harness them to the chariots made of gold wheels and silver. And then the chariots would have a purple canopy for the women to drive in. And the horses would have on a harness, and they would have jewels, this rows of jewels over the horses' cheeks. So that was his illustration. You're just as beautiful as those horses, my dear.
And thy cheeks are combed with rows of jewels.
Like the horses.
A neck with chains of gold.
And they would put chains around the horses. He's saying, and I can do the same thing for you. I can really deck you out in the best jewelry. I mean, just worship me. I'll pay your mortgage. You'll get that house you want. You can have the food.
We'll make thee borders of gold with studs of silver.
Make you some beautiful clothes, spun gold.
She now answers.
Okay, now she speaks.
While the king sitteth at his table.
Oh, my lord, the king's at the table now. Whew, getting close here.
My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof.
Okay. They have put some perfume on her, so she has perfume. They've cleaned her up and fixed her up, too. She's beautiful. Her perfume. But remember, she is an elect. And remember that the smell of an elect is like the anointing of God. Jesus is the anointed one, and there is a spiritual scent, and he pours that out on the elect. The anointing means he rubs it in like rubbing in oil. So then the elect, the Shulamite, you the elect, you smell. And as Paul says in Corinthians, you are like a sweet savor smelling perfume to those who are saved, and you're like a sweet smelling savor to those who are lost. Don't you just love it when you've been through trouble? When you get to go somewhere where there's an elect, you know that there's going to be a refreshing scent about that person that's going to tell you it's all right, we're going to pray for this, God's going to bring us through. And don't you know that even the lost people, when they have exhausted all other avenues, I know they call me on the phone, they've tried everything in the world, finally they come to this, they are glad, they sense that. It's not a physical smell so much, although it can be, that's not what he means here. It's that refreshing. You are, every one of you, wherever you go, you're leaving a scent. How are the golden oils doing? Is it bitter? Is it pretty? Are you making a difference? Are people glad you're coming? Do you give hope? hope? Do you have joy? Do you say all is well? Is there a peace about you? So she says, he's the Antichrist. See, Lucifer will go after the elect because he's jealous of our anointed. In Isaiah 14, Lucifer, Satan, the Antichrist, was called the Anointed One. He lost that. He loved that. That's the best thing you can ever have, is the Spirit of God upon you. There's nothing so great, so awesome to have it upon you. It's amazing, a miracle, and he lost it. And so when he finds an elect that has it, he zeroes in. It's called charisma. It's charismatic. It even draws the bugs.
Amen. 13, a bottle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast.
So she says, okay, he's going to sit here, he's going to smell my sweet perfume, and he's going to try to woo me. But she says, but what I'd rather have is a bitter perfume. Myrrh is mine. Its bitter perfume breathes a sigh of gathering gloom. My wonderful shepherd boy is not interested in smelling like the best smelling flowers. He has a bitter perfume. He's going to die. He's going to shed his blood for the remission of my sins. I'd rather have the bitter perfume. I'd rather hold that in my heart all the night long. Paul says, you're so happy to rejoice in the salvation and the resurrection. How many of you have ever fellowship with Jesus in his crucifixion? After my radio program the other day, it was not my program, the next one, I still had the radio on, and some little guy started coming, I've been crucified with Jesus, I've been crucified with Jesus. I thought, if you've been crucified with Jesus, you'd sing it, tone it down a little bit more there. Have you ever lain all night and swallowed the bitter perfume? Have you ever been through all 39 stripes? And I don't mean you said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3. The blood. Have you ever felt it? Have you ever felt the beard? Have you ever felt the pain? He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You will never be the best friend until you can feel somebody's pain. You can never be that measure, a level of an elect, of that oneness with God, until you have a fellowship of his suffering. Seeing all the calls, I tell God to give me something. Tell God to give me something. What a joy, joy, joy. I got my new stuff. I got my new stuff. When have you felt his pain? You can start it by feeling other people's pain. If you have a friend, they will feel your pain. Amen. If they're your friend.
Amen. Verse 14, and the shepherd answers.
Oh boy, here he comes, that wonderful shepherd boy, right there with her. See, he's not left her alone. And the Holy Spirit's going to be right with us when we deliver it up. He's going to speak through us. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to stand back and see what he's going to say through me. What are you going to say, Lord? I want to hear it too.
My beloved is as unto me a cluster of camphor.
Cypress. That's pretty fresh, isn't it?
In the vineyards of Engedi. Verse 15, the shepherd continues. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eye.
He says, you're so refreshing to me that you would care about my pain, elect. That you would understand Calvary, that you wouldn't be so flippant about that cross or that blood, that this would be something deep and you wouldn't give up until you learned the mystery of the blood. And I love you for that, and I love you because you have dove's eyes. Dove's eyes, dove is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. It is the Holy Spirit that enlightens your eyes. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. He says, what's so beautiful about you, my Shulamite, my elect, all of you, is that you have bypassed this world's vision, and you see my plan. You see my plan. You see the eternal picture. You're not stuck here. Even when you're delivered up to Antichrist, it's just temporary. You see the big picture. See, an elect understands the whole plan, and then you don't get so sidetracked with the little stuff. Remember, all the stuff is small stuff, except the big stuff, the reason you came here, serving him. So your eyes are so beautiful because you see with the eyes of God. Haven't you ever, somebody's training you something and you'd say, oh, I see. me now, understand?
Yes.
He says, you see my plan. You're not a little baby sucking a bottle there. You understand why you're here. That makes him so happy. You see, the Lord would like to have that fellowship of you understanding what he's about, what he's gone through, and why all this is important. Instead of always coming to him about your stuff, let's get on his team. Let's think of what he's about. I can assure you he'll take care of you. For time's sake, we'll stop there, but next week we'll begin right there. It gets better and better. God bless the Song of Solomon. Well, right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful love story.
Beautiful.
Between us and him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our first question tonight. In Psalms 80, it says, a house of Israel is my vineyard. Can you explain that, please?
Yes, he says the house of Israel is his vineyard. The vineyard is where you're supposed to do the wine press, in other words, pour out and squeeze the story of Jesus shedding his blood and get that gospel story out. There are 12 tribes of Israel, but they split. Two of them are called the house of Judah. That's Benjamin and Judah. For the most part, they're in the land of Israel, but they're called the house of Judah. Some of them are in England. But the house of Israel migrated after being captured by the Assyrian over the Caucasian Mountains, were later called Caucasians, settled Europe, and then came to these United States of America. And he says, we are his vineyard. The purpose of America is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that wine press, and get that wine, that blood of Jesus, out to the whole world. That's it.
Amen. That's why we're bound with Israel here also. Mm. Our next question. What is the greatest need for America right now?
The greatest need for America is for God to lift up a voice to whom everybody would listen. We have no voice speaking for God to the whole nation now. And it's time now. The next thing we need to do is to let the people realize we've sinned. So the word sin needs to come out, but we need a leader and anointed. Always God would lift up one person in the nation, like, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, somebody like that. And that's what we need now, that voice. We have a voice speaking for God as a whole for the nation now. You have all kinds of little stuff, but you need, like, the State of the Union was so beautiful, but we needed somebody to say, and now America, we have sinned. The only thing that is ever going to get us whole again is to call on the name of the Lord Jesus, repent of these sins, make Jesus the Lord and the Bible the book. And then this voice would lead the whole nation in repentance. The Holy Spirit would convict. Jesus would be the Lord. And then that same person would teach God's word 24 hours a day to all America until we straightened up, cleaned up, and got it right.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the car, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
When we release all the things of this world and seek the King's unsearchable heart, we are no longer bound to the movement within the physicalities of this world. We now move as inheritors of salvation with ministering spirits in a realm which knows no bounds through Christ who dwells in us.
That is so great. Spirit of the living God, ministering angels set to minister for those of heirs of salvation. Thank you very much, Scott. That's beautiful. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. You might want to put your hand over whatever ails you there. Precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, in the name and the power of Jesus, throughout the airways now, let the healing virtue, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Laser beams of the fire of God going into the eyes and removing the mask that is causing the blindness, the pressure of a mask there. Going into the ears and uncovering and putting the eardrum back in place and replenishing. Going into the backbone spine, replenishing the nerves. Lower pain in the back pain, lower pain stop. Into the legs, perfect circulation, the feet and toes, perfect alignment, the kidneys, the bladder, the colon, the hearts, the lungs, in the name of Jesus, be healed. The Spirit of God is moving now, north, south, east, and west. The fire is coming down, the fire is coming down and burns out the disease, it burns out the sickness, repairing, restoring. You are made whole. Many miracles are happening right now in the name and the power of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You sent your word and healed them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who received your miracles might like to call and leave a message on my machine. My announcer will give you my number in a few minutes. Now let me pray for those of you who are lost. You want to get saved right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That God has raised Jesus from the dead.
That God has raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your truth.
Grow me in your truth.
Let me have dove's eyes.
Let me have dove's eyes.
Let me understand your mystery.
Let me understand your mystery.
Use me to enhance your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you certainly want to leave that message and talk to me there. And don't forget, Sunday, April 1st, 5 p.m., a beautiful service here to celebrate Christ our Passover sacrifice for us. Each Sunday, 5 p.m., Wednesday, 6 p.m., Thursdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I pray for you. Now, remember this. Not one thing that you get is yours to keep. I know you said, it's mine. That's what the world says. When you got it, you give it away. And then God will give you some more. The reason you never got any more, that you didn't give it away. And so give it away, and God will give you some more. It's his law. And so go and tell the truth. This is too beautiful for you to keep. How selfish. You're going to implode if you don't share this truth. You're supposed to. It's your destiny. And so remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying, we love you. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. God give you all kind of happy things this week. And until next time, each one of you, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. The sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name, yeah. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, though there's pain. yes, it'd be a man. Yeah. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Gonna say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name.
Trust unbroken, but fate foresaw my wandering eye that none could yet restrain to violate the friendship I would cause him so much pain. And every away, he was no stranger to my pain. He walked a mile in my shoes. He walked a his anthem. No feeble blow from tongue or pen could ever sway my love for him. Across the echoed hills he trod and reached into away. He was no
left a mile in my shoes. Walked a mile in my shoes. Upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. How his kindness yet pursues me, mortal tongue can never tell. Clothed in flesh till death shall loose me, I cannot proclaim it well. Face clothing in my blood washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace.
now to carry me to realms of endless days.
touching, Mr.